You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just letting you know, you need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is Knockouts and Three Counts, and here we're live once again with an episode of Podcast Gold. Kyle, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. I'll be back on here in 1 second.
Kyle's got to go do stuff. Well, I'm doing great. I'm going to go ahead and throw my social media and all that good stuff out there while Kyle takes care of business. You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at AllStakeNoSizzle. That's one word. People, make sure you're following the Knockouts and Three Counts Facebook page, which you're watching us on live right now. Just hit that like button so you can get all of our updates whenever we go live on Facebook. Also, join the Reality Era News group on Facebook where we talk wrestling. Right now, the big debate is about the fake WBC / WWE 24/7 championship title. I'm pretty sure we'll get into that a little bit with our guests coming up in a little bit. But definitely go ahead and join the group so you can join the discussion. Kyle, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media and all that good stuff to the people out there?
Sorry about that. Just was getting the live feed stuff taken care of. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit NOKOUT. Make sure you're following the show as well at KO3CPod on Twitter and Instagram. And on KO3CPod.com, you can see all our past episodes.
We got a call coming in from Tony Thunder.
Can we merge him?
I can try.
We're going to try to merge Tony Thunder in. That's what you hear in the background. But
can we get Tony? Can we get Tony?
We'll see if that's going to work.
Because if it works, then he can prove that Randy really does hate him.
No, it says it missed the call, so he might not be there. So, yeah, it just doesn't.
Well, Tony, it's not just Randy, apparently.
So not only Randy hates you, so does Bob and Dave and everybody here at Podcast Detroit. Kyle, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests, man? We got them on the phone. We just saw them this past weekend. Why don't you let the people know who we got?
So, on the line with us, we've got the Bomb Shelter. If you were at BCWA Space Slam, you saw them there. You know, Randy just made her debut and Evolve, man, all kinds of big stuff. So, how you guys doing?
Doing pretty good, man. How are you?
Can't complain.
Yeah, long time no see. How you guys doing?
Yeah, it's been a whole 2 days.
Yeah, you guys, we actually saw you guys recently. You guys were gracious enough to host us at a killer viewing party for the pay-per-view. We appreciate it, by the way.
Oh, no problem.
We appreciate that, even though Game of Thrones totally fucking stole our thunder. But that's neither here nor there.
I don't understand Game of Thrones. I know as a time traveler that should be my thing, but I really think that anybody would have much rather been at that party.
I agree with you.
I agree. So that being...
Game of Thrones sucks.
You heard it here first.
Wait. I just want to point out the thoughts and views of Randy Weston. I didn't say those are Knockouts and Three
Counts. Now Randy's got her own disclaimer, just like Tony.
Go ahead.
So since you were at the party with us, why don't we start off with that? Give us your thoughts on Money in the Bank as a whole.
I mean, it was enjoyable.
Go Bailey.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm happy that I got to see Seth Rollins and AJ Styles accomplish what I thought they would do, and definitely a finish to the Money in the Bank that nobody saw. I enjoy WWE as a fan. I don't care how many years I've been in the business. If any wrestler has a problem with that, you can cash me outside. But I thought it was a good finish too. I think there's always money in Brock Lesnar. It was
That's
hilarious.
Undeniable.
I like to see the internet. I know. I also like to see things that when I see it happen, whether it's good or bad for business, I say, "Oh man, the internet's gonna love this." And so that's always good.
Devin, what'd you think?
I thought it was a good show. Definitely caught me off guard with the whole Brock Lesnar thing. I did not see that one coming.
And the ladder almost falling over when his big ass was trying to grab the fucking briefcase.
But all in all,
him being scared to death of climate.
He was definitely afraid. They had to.
He was white knuckling that bitch.
It looked like they had to pay him $600,000 to climb a ladder. He was so scared. God bless.
Man, imagine being in high school and saying, I'm going to make millions of dollars climbing ladders. I'm like, no, you're not. I'm like, watch this.
You.
Anybody that hated that just knows that they wish they could make that payday for climbing a ladder.
Fuck yeah, you're going to pay me that much. I'll climb whatever ladder you want. I'm just saying.
Man. Well, one thing that I
know. And who hates Boombox Bra? I mean, we all know Boombox
that Bra. Shit was pretty funny, though.
I'm into it.
Well, one thing that I asked you guys at the event, and I kind of noticed that during the matches, like, you were kind of almost critiquing the matches, like, oh, okay, they could have did that better. That wasn't too good, da-da-da-da. So, and I asked you, and I want to ask you on air, as wrestlers and teachers, is it hard for you to watch wrestling as a fan, or are you constantly, you know, going over the tape in your head, seeing how you can make improvements?
I mean, I try to watch it as a fan, but I guess, like, once you cross over to the other realm, you kind of don't watch it the same again.
Right.
But like you said, we're teachers. We have students, and we mentor a ton of people on a daily basis, actually. Me and our other partner, Zodiac, sat down and talked about it. Over this year alone, we have had 68 different people in our inboxes just asking us what we know, which we definitely appreciate. We definitely watch it from a correct and learn point of view. We watch it to learn as well. We watch to see why. We look for rhyme and reason. Mm-hmm. We watch it with a much more understanding eye. We don't jump to conclusions until we see where it's going. I mean, once you get to this part of wrestling, you watch it differently. And you always watch to learn. When you're in a teaching role, you watch to learn because they've got a lot of money and they have it for a reason.
So there's multiple ways to do things too. So when you watch it, you know, it might be something the way that I taught it might be completely different from the way that they're doing it on TV now. So you have to, you know, to keep up with the times and to keep up with the training schedule and what the big companies want, you know, you have to pay attention to that too, so that we can pass that knowledge on as well. Not just what we know, but what is ever advancing in our business.
So as you guys mentioned, like, you guys have been in the game for a long time at this point, and you still watch to keep up with the product. You know, for those that are a little bit unfamiliar with Bomb Shelter, you know, give the people listening a little bit of an idea of your guys' background, because with you guys being around so long, I know we were talking about it at the show. Like, you mentioned wrestling against Ricochet, and Randy, you just made your debut for Evolve, who we got to work with the last couple weeks. So give the listeners a little bit of an idea of that kind of stuff.
Well, for me, I mean, I'm thinking about 13 years ago. I look at about 13 years ago, I got around wrestling, and I never looked back. It was, I actually started in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm a Jeff King guy. Old timer Jeff King brought me into this business. He is the sole reason, number one reason I am here today talking to you and have anything to do with wrestling. If it wasn't for the, so he works over at Horror Slam. I'm sure you guys are familiar with them over there.
Yep, right. Definitely.
But, yeah, I'm a Jeff King guy. He broke me in. We set up the ring outside, and he lives in a field. He lives right next to a field. So we put the ring up in a field, and he trained me every day outside in the field. And I just never looked back, and I started traveling a lot. So first of all, my first couple of years, I came to Indianapolis, and I was fortunate enough, and they weren't names at the time. They actually didn't even do Dragon Gate till the year after we had all wrestled each other. But, like, I was wrestling guys like Chuck Taylor, John Moxley. I was wrestling the Irish Airborne, now known as OI4K, Ricochet, Delirious, guys like that, like, on a regular basis. Thanks to IPW and Sanity Pro Wrestling. Let me give them a quick plug. They don't run anymore, but I'm grateful for everything they've given me. Sean Tyler, he works at the – he was my tag team partner at the time. We were a tag team called the Kosher Club. Wow. And we were a Jewish tag team, and it was pretty popular, and he got to do the same stuff. So he's actually also over at Horror Slam and MPWA and other Michigan promotions.
He's a past guest of the show, too.
Yeah, good friend of ours.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, he was my partner. He was known as Sean Tylerstein, and and he wrestled all those guys, too. We had a blast, and we did a lot of cool things. We wrestled the Osirian Portal. you know, a lot of Chikara guys. It was really good time, but it wasn't the best time in wrestling because late 2000s, we were just waiting for wrestling to turn the corner. It was still WWE or Japan or Impact or TNA or whatever they were calling it at the time, and that was your three options. If you didn't do that, there was nothing else. So, you know, we were very lucky to wrestle there. HWA, which was an old training ground, the original training ground. That's my dog. I apologize.
I was he's trying to tell his story too.
Let me get my shit in.
Oddly enough, that is actually Thunder Kitty who just walked in.
Oh man, what's up there?
We're doing a podcast right now. You might know her from Shine, Evolve, and all those other good things.
I've never worked.
Definitely. Yeah, it was just here, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
Randy, same question to you.
So, back many moons ago, I'm going on 17 years now. I met a guy named Briar Wellington.
There's that name again.
you guys probably heard of him. And he was, you know, he was wrestling. Oh, you're a man. He was wrestling, and he had just, I think he was 18. He did the WWE gimmick, and he was over doing shoot fighting in Japan and stuff. And then, like, when I met him, he had started to, like, try and show people, you know, different training and stuff like that. And him and Truth Martini were opening a school together. Wow. And so he introduced me to Truth. And then, you know, me and Truth, we got together training-wise, and Alex Shelley was just coming off of a collarbone break that he had, and he was in there too. So it ended up being me and Alex Shelley. There was four or five other people that started, and me and Alex Shelley were the only ones left standing at the end of the training.
Wow.
But I got extremely lucky because at the time, like I said, they were just starting up and trying to figure out all the different, the school and the training itself and everything. So when I came in, it was like, oh, you're not a girl. You're a wrestler, and we're going to treat you like a wrestler. It's not going to be like, well, you know, we're going to treat you like porcelain. No, they beat the living shit out of me.
it made me
a survivor throughout the years too. Cause if they would have went easy on me, I probably wouldn't have made it through the first 6 years of wrestling. Cause it was, you know, I started in 2002. So if you can remember what wrestling was for women back then.
Right.
It was
bra and panty matches and stuff.
Yeah, it was a dumpster fire with bra and panties. That's all it was.
Pretty much.
So, it was like, you know, they could throw me to the wolves as a lamb, or they could throw me to the wolves as another wolf and fucking make me survive, you know, and that's what they did. I'll forever be grateful to Truth Martini.
So I feel like every person that we have on the show that's trained in the area mentions the name Briar Wellington. It's someone that I'm not necessarily familiar with, but, you know, having done this show for a while, I'm starting to get familiar with the name. So what exactly did Briar Wellington do for you in your career? I'm pretty sure you're going to give a very similar answer that most of our other guests was, but I just want to hear from you, hear a woman's perspective on Briar Wellington and what he did for your career.
Well, he opened the door. Like, I'd wanted to be a wrestler since I was 5 years old, but I never knew how to do it. I didn't even know that independence existed until I was 19 years old and I met Briar. And he's like, oh yeah, I wrestle. And I'm like, shut up. And he's like, no, for real. Like, and I went to my first ever in-state independent show was for Gene Miller, Mean Gene Austin. And I was hooked. I actually met Alex Shelley there. And then I think it was like maybe a month after that, he had broken his collarbone and it was a whole to do. And then the second show I ever went to was EWF in Marion, Indiana, which was Jason Maples, which is now Heroes and Legends.
Okay.
And you know, I worked for them as EWF as their small group. And now Heroes and Legends, I work for them as well. But Gene Miller, funny story, it took 16 years, but 16 years later, he hit me up, and now I go down to Mississippi where he lives, and he runs shows in Mississippi. So I work for Gene Miller, you know, come full circle with him.
Wow. What part of Mississippi?
How do you pronounce the Mississippi?
What did I do?
It's like Pascagoula.
Pascagoula.
Yeah, Pascagoula.
Okay, I'm pretty familiar with that. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So
yeah, it's some kind of funky name. And Briar, you know, Briar, by introducing me to the business and bringing me in, you know, and introduced me to everybody else, and actually put, like, me and Briar lived with me. He lived in my basement, you know, like, in 2011, I had colon surgery, and he actually took care of me for 3 weeks, you know, literally carrying me in and out of the bathroom. And so Briar had a very integral part in just not just wrestling life, but my actual real life too.
Wow. So I have to ask about that, being that we talked about it at the party. You know, I have Crohn's myself, you know, like, how does dealing with that kind of stuff affect you in the ring? Like, what have you noticed as far as, like, things that it affects?
Oh, so, true story. This one time I was in West Virginia. I was wrestling Jesse Bell Smothers. I think she was just Jesse Bell at the time, but, my music plays, and I get, like, my stomach's just like, and I'm like, oh no. So I go out to the ring, and we lock up, we do a couple things, and she hair beels me across the ring. And as soon as I hit, I shit myself.
Oh, man.
True story, bro. True story. And she comes over. I was like, man, I just shit myself. She's like, no, you didn't. Picks me up and throws me by my hair across the ring again. And she comes over. I'm like, no, for real. I just shit myself. So, you know, she's in shock and awe. She's in shock and awe. And, like, we end up finishing the match. It was, like, another 6 or 7 minutes of match. I had to wrestle. So to answer the question of how it's affected wrestling, I tend to shit myself a lot more than I used to.
You know, I know the feeling. And, like, as people that don't understand that stuff, it's like nobody seems to understand – like, how out of nowhere that stuff literally just, you could be fine 1 minute and then literally be about to go do something and, like, oh shit, literally. Like, so
I can't sit at a whole meal and just eat the whole meal at once. It don't work. It's like half a meal, then go, and then half a meal.
I deal with the same thing. You know, that's like, it's hard at times to eat with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that also brings me to another thing we were talking about while we were at the party. You guys both spoke to me about death matches. Randy, I want to hear about it from your side as a female. And Schwartz, you know, we just found out you're getting ready to go against another past guest of the show for us in Human Tornado. How about both you guys let us know your thoughts on death matches?
Death matches, like, I like death matches because they're as close to, like, I guess, my teenage years as I can get as far as a wrestler, because I was a little hellion and I fought a lot when I was younger. So, like, I do death matches, like, maybe once or twice a year now, just to kind of get the release of, so I don't go to jail. But it's also, like, it's a whole nother art form too, as far as, you know, being able to do the moves is with wrestling and then have a weapon too, because a lot of people can't do the actual real match safely or, you know, competently, and then they're like, oh well, I'm gonna be a death match wrestler because that's way better. Like, no, you're gonna kill somebody. Now you have weapons to kill them, not just drop them on their head and break their neck or, you know, break their jaw. Now you can actually slice their throat open. Like, what is wrong with you?
Right. Schwartz, what about you, man? What are your thoughts on death matches and your match coming up with a Human Tornado?
So I did death matches for a little bit. Like, when, like, I didn't start as a death match wrestler by any means, nor did I do it for quite some time. But I decided to give it a shot because I'll try anything in wrestling. I want to understand it. I want to be able to perform to my 110% best. And I see there's an art in death match. I think there's an absolute spot for deathmatch wrestling, and anybody that says otherwise is just unadaptable and ignorant. So I did it. I didn't necessarily, like, love it, nor did I think I was this, like, superstar in it, but I did it. I did it the best I could. I understand it. I can do it if needed to be. I don't mind it. But it wasn't really for me. I was the prince of the death matches over at IWA, and I won Lord of the Hardcore too. I got to wrestle a lot of cool people, but it's just not my bread and butter. You know, it's not something that people are going to really want to give their hard earned money to see when they can see me do something so much better, like wrestle and entertain and tag team wrestle, multi-man matches, stuff like that. Better places than I excel. So there's a place for it. It's just not for me. Randy's really good at it. So, you know, that's always nice that someone in the house can deathmatch wrestle.
I got hit up by Ian Rotten in 2006, which was, you know, three, four years after I started. And he asked me if I wanted to do Queen of the Deathmatch in 2006. And I turned him down. I said, no, man, like, I don't want to do that. I ain't ready. I ain't ready to use weapons. Like, I can barely use my fists right now. Like, and then, you know, fast forward 8 years and I end up becoming Queen of the Deathmatch in 2014.
Which was the best Queen of the Death matches, by the way. The best year. If you go back and buy any of the DVDs,
that's the one.
Consistent match for match the whole way through. I'm talking like all the girls performing. You want to see that.
It was like a who's who on there, too. It was like
I'm the last person trying to sell IWA DVDs. That's how
Jordan Grace was on there, and Heidi Lovelace, which is now Ruby Riot,
right.
And Thunder Kitty, and myself, and Jules Malone, and... Lou Dark and Jordan. I said Jordan Grace, right?
Yeah,
nope. Jordan. Hannah? Yeah, Jordan Grace was on the show, and fucking who else? Hudson Envy. She on there? Or was that 2015?
No, they were on there. Jordan wrestled.
There's just so many women beating the shit out of each other.
Such a good tournament. Lufisto was on it, and they did the non-tournament match.
Yeah, they did just the regular.
And it was just a really great year.
Young Jordan Grace, yeah.
Even the guys that were in King of the Deathmatch later that night or the next day, whatever it was, were like, man, these girls are fucking killing each other. You know, and like it had been so long since there had been a Queen of the Deathmatch that we all felt like we had to go out there and, you know, show off and show what we could do.
It was easily the best day off of wrestling myself and Jack Thriller had had in a long time.
Well,
we were just enjoying it. It was so good.
Well,
four women.
Enough. Now I'm booked. I have Death Becomes Her coming up July 13th in Chicago or Summit Park, Illinois for Resistance. And then, you know, you had mentioned we're flying out to Los Angeles area in August for Crimson Cup, where he's doing the non-tournament match. And I'm actually in the first round is me and Casanova Valentin versus... they're doing tag Marcus team Crane. Markets, so it's Marcus Crane and Matt Tremont. So it should be, and that's my first time being in a death match with either one of those, with any three of them, really. But to have Marcus Crane and Matt Tremont, two of the highest death match, you know, highest held in the death match scene, be across from me, it's pretty exciting.
Well, Randy, that's a great transition to a question that I was going to ask later on, but let's just talk about that right now. So. You do these death matches. Let's just say, you know, you go do a death match and then you and Schwartz go out to the gas station. You're driving back. You go to the gas station. So you're all busted up. You got Band-Aids and stitches and stuff like that. Both of you go into a gas station. Do you ever get weird looks from people when they see you walking
in?
Oh,
check this out.
All the time.
Hold on. So I get a black eye every 3 to 4 months. It's called Schwartz's annual black eye. Like, anybody that knows me well enough knows that I get a freaking black eye like every 3 to 4 months. So it's like when we walk into a store and there's just, you know, Randy's got a good broad shoulder range to her too. Like, people kind of look like, I think that nice lady punched that man in the eye. I don't think that they're about to tell us it was stairs, but I know it wasn't stairs.
I like fucking with the people at the store, though. Like, I walk in and I have a black eye or, you know, have a cut or a Band-Aid or something, and they look at me and give me the funny look, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, I'll hurry up, honey, and, like, run into the bathroom, you know, like. And it's fun. You can have fun, entertain yourself, and, you know, what's it all for?
So tell me about that. Like, you know, you guys have talked about death matches and we've talked about a little bit of both of your careers. You know, tell me how you guys came together as the Bomb Shelter and like what it's like for you guys is doing intergender tag matches and stuff.
So the Bomb Shelter started in 2014. 14? Yeah. Thunder Kitty is the okay. Thunder Kitty is here to. She is an original Bomb Shelter member. It was originally myself, Zodiac, and Thunder Kitty. That was the original Bomb Shelter.
Really?
She was our manager, but like, it was awesome. She was the manager that wrestled, so it was we had an actual, real on the job manager. It was dope. She actually managed me against Billy Gunn, which was incredibly cool.
I was jealous.
So the Bomb Shelter originally got its name, even though we're time travelers. Originally, we were a cast of villains, and we just went around and we neglected ourselves from society because we felt society wasn't up to par. So we had all gone to a proverbial bomb shelter, and that's where the name came. But with the success of Marty Skrull and like a lot of other people doing the villainess steampunk gimmick, we had to make a decision of do we want to continue to do what we do or do we want to adapt, evolve, and become something completely different. So we decided that we enjoy time travel. Me specifically, I thought that that was like a really cool way to go, especially with everything happening, comic books being popular. I identify with the Doctor Who role very much.
Okay.
And you know, it just all worked out. And as it came together, fans were just like, this is really cool. And it just became more and more of a thing. And we got members here and there. And eventually it just evolved into me, Randy, and Zodiac. And it just became an entity on its own. The fans really make it what it is. They constantly comment on it. They want to know. They tell us what they want to see. We have different promos where we go back in time and we do many different things that like intrigue the mind and question what like is supposed to be professional wrestling. Like professional wrestling is what you make it.
Right.
So we decided to make it something interesting.
So I've been told to ask you from our other co-host, Tony Thunder. So we hear you guys have got a comic coming out.
So we already have a comic out, mm-hmm. and we actually also have a young adult novel.
So tell us a little bit about that. And I also was told to ask you, if, you know, if more issues of the comic come out, who would be good Marvel or DC characters to be part of the Bomb Shelter in the comics?
I think we're more of a Marvel entity.
I love you guys.
you know, we really deal in multiverse and multiverse theory. And I mean, I'm sorry, DC is dropping the ball on multiverse.
I love you guys.
maybe, I'm sorry, not everybody can see it, but they just pull out Batman a little too much to save their butt.
Wait, Batman is all they have, man. It's all about Marvel.
Exactly. We're a Marvel property.
But yeah, talk to us about the comic. And where can people find it, and what is it about?
So we are currently sold out of the comic.
Oh.
There is zero copies available probably for 2 more weeks. We are picking up a whole new batch, and you can get them through us. We carry them on our gimmick tables, and we carry them, you know, we sell things online all the time. We're always sending out packages to fans that order shirts and energy drinks and whatever else we've got going on. We seem to have something different all the time. But, yeah, you can just contact one of us and we'll be more than happy to send it out and we can get it signed for you and all that good stuff.
But you guys are going to be at the next BCWA show, right?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a perfect place. People come out June 16th to Wyandotte at the Copeland Center, and you will see the Bomb Shelter there. You can get a copy of that comic book.
Absolutely. Actually, we are exclusively in the Detroit area to BCWA at this point in time.
Wow.
If it's not a WWN product, then we're exclusively with BCWA for the time being. So if you want to catch us, you catch one of their shows, and I'm telling you, they got a great roster.
So speaking of the comic, you know, Tony also let us in on one of the villains of your comic is Sue Young. And we also were told to ask you because another buddy of ours that is a BCWA wrestler, Movado, has his own comic. Did we ever see a crossover between the two of you?
Ooh.
Well, our comic book actually features a lot of independent wrestlers. That's kind of like what we like to do with our properties is kind of incorporate everything at once. The Sue Young is actually going to be the big heel antagonist in the graphic novel, young adult novel. We have a young adult novel that's kind of fun for all ages, but it's more of a read than it is got graphics. And that's the second installment, the sequel to A Scattered Timeline.
So once again, Tony Thunder, he sent in his questions, and I guess I got to ask this one. He says, asking how does it feel being Dr. Who Booty it is? Or is it Who Booty is it?
Dr. Who Booty is it? I don't even know what that means.
Who Booty is it?
I don't know what that means, man.
I don't think he does either, but I mean, hell.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I don't know where the hell that one came from.
Medicine, I'm sure, for certain things, and that's okay. We don't judge, but he maybe neglected to take that medicine today.
Shots fired.
It's okay.
Yeah, we'll tell Tony to take his medicine. Matter of fact, I'm gonna message that to him right now.
So, Tony, take your fucking meds. Anyway. Tell us about, you guys do a lot of intergender tag stuff and stuff like that. Tell me about how that is for you guys, being that both of you guys do your own thing in singles and some of the deathmatch stuff and other stuff like that. You know, tell us, you know, the differences between that and the other styles that you guys wrestle.
For me, completely different. And, right now it's better, but when we first started, what was it, 2 years ago, when we first started tagging with each other and doing the intergender thing, like, it was so difficult for me because I've been a singles competitor for so long that, you know, you don't think about that, oh, wait, there's another person that can help me out, you know? So it took me a while to get used to the dynamic of being able to rely on somebody else during the match to be able to have my back. So for me, it was difficult. Now it's a lot easier, I think, as far as, cause we can now look at each other and just know what's coming next, you know? You guys are married, so it should happen that way, but it doesn't, you know, like there's plenty of people that have tried and the chemistry is not there. We just got lucky to have chemistry inside and out of the ring.
So, Randy, a question I wanted to ask you. We've been trying to get a lot more women wrestlers on the show because right now I think it's probably the best time in the history of the business for women. So for someone who got started, you know, early 2000s, and you've seen basically the last 17 years in the wrestling business for women, for you, how has the change affected you, and what do you think about this current era of wrestling for women?
Really, for me, because I've been wrestling men for so long, you know, like it hasn't really affected me all that much. Cause again, I'm in an intergender tag team. So, but as far as being able to see my, you know, the other women and the women, my peers and even my best friend, watching my best friend get to do all the cool stuff, you know, like it's awesome because going from gravy matches and evening gowns and stripping and stuff like that to actually being seen and respected as athletes, like that's really all we wanted in 2002 and 2003. The me and Haley Hatred and Lufisto and Mickey Knuckles, like all them girls that started around that time and in 98 and even earlier, you know, like they were all just looked upon as the good looking side entertainment. And now they're, you know, main eventing and they get all these amazing opportunities. It's awesome. I think it's completely awesome. It took long enough, but we all knew it would happen. It was just, we didn't realize it would take this damn long.
and you said,
like, I'd like to thank the pioneers of this, you know, are the women that were on the indies that were fighting tooth and nail, like the Lufistos and the Haley Hatreds and the Mickey Knuckles and stuff like that, you know?
So another thing that you mentioned to us while we were talking at Buffalo Wild Wings was you making gear for a lot of the guys on the indies. You mentioned Silas Young from Ring of Honor and that you're making it for multiple people. Tell me a little bit about that, how you got started with it, and being multifaceted like that, do you think that it helps you in other aspects of the business?
Definitely helps. I mean, again, I've been doing this so long that there's a point where your body's just like, fuck off, you know, like you can't do this anymore. So like, you always have to have a backup plan. And like, I mean, my backup plan, I don't plan on leaving the business. So my backup plan, I just made sure that it was something that made sure I was around at all times. And the gear making, when I was younger, we had no money when I was growing up, you know, so we had, you know, we entertained ourselves, and my grandma taught me how to sew, and we'd go to thrift stores and I'd put stuff together and make different little outfits to try and be cool. And it was never cool because it was, you know, thrift store outfits sewn together.
Right.
But I just took that, like, as I got older and in wrestling, I was trying to get gear and it was expensive. And I'm like, why am I spending all this money to get gear when I could just make it? And so I had made a couple outfits for myself, and then I made something for shorts. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, can you make something for me? And I'm like, I can try. And then it just kind of took off from there. And I've been doing it probably about 5-6 years now, almost 7. And Silas hit me up probably about 6 or 7 months ago and said, hey, I need some trunks this weekend. And it was a Wednesday when he hit me up, and I was like, yeah, I can do that. And he got them, and he loved it, and he's been with me ever since. I think I'm on gear number 4 for him now. So no, for Silas.
Oh, you're on like 5, 6.
Yeah. Yeah. He comes to me whenever he needs something right away. Like he's got it.
So if someone needs gear, how can they get in contact with you about getting their gear made?
I have a Facebook page, and it's got all the different stuff that I've made on there. It's just Gear by Randy West, and you can look it right up on Facebook. And if you need gear, you can hit me up. I can give you a quote. I try to stay reasonable. I'm not, you know, trying to gouge anybody, because the whole reason for me starting it was to, you know, help people out and make them look more professional. Because again, when I started, you know, Hot Topics outfits were pretty hot in the wrestling scene, you know?
So much fishnet flying around.
Yeah, you hear that? So much fishnet and plaid. It was ridiculous.
For real, though.
I don't see any lie in that statement at all.
Stay tuned to the Knockouts and Three Counts page.
I'm not knocking anybody, because I was right there along with them. You know, I had my little plaid skirt and my black tank top wrestling, you know? So, like, and I'm pretty sure I got mine from Dots, though, not from... I don't even think Dots is open anymore. That's how old I am.
Yeah. Wait, weren't that was in the mall, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a dope store. It had, like, $10 jeans and shit.
I think I got a shirt with, like, a bunch of robots or something on it. There,
like, buy a pair of jeans, get 7 shirts free. Ooh. Dots was awesome.
That sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely throw the link up for your gear page on our page, so that people that want to find you to get gear made, they'll be able to find it on our page as well to help you guys out.
And I try to make sure that my turnaround time is decent, so I only take, you know, 5 orders at a time, just so that I know that I can get it done in the time that I say.
So is there anybody else that people will know that you made gear for? You want to drop some names out there?
Well, there's a couple different guys. Like, I make a lot of the Alpha Omega guys, and Nelson Atkins, his stuff. He's out of St. Louis. And I've made some outfits for Jessie Bell. She's doing the WOW thing now. What's her name on WOW?
Oh, gosh darn it. Jessie Jones?
Jessie Jones, maybe, on WOW.
Gosh darn it. That doesn't sound right.
Everybody knows Jessie Bell. Jessie Bell's...
It's obviously her, though.
Yeah. If you don't know Jessie Bell, then you ain't following women's wrestling anyways, indie wrestling, because she's one of the WOW superstar broads out in California.
I think she helps train some of the girls, if I'm not mistaken.
One of the older Smothers' daughters.
She's one of the originals.
I don't know how many of his fucking daughters he's got running around.
Tracy Smothers got about 482 different daughters running around. So.
Well, let's touch on that for a second. You were talking to us about you guys have a pretty good relationship with Tracy Smothers. Like, how did you guys run into Tracy and and how?
IWA.
We ran into Tracy at IWA and myself and Zodiac because he was, I guess he just had taken a year off. They had trusted me and Zodiac to wrestle him, and we started working in him with programs. And yeah, like we worked with him a greater part of a year in tag team matches. He was teaming up with John Calvin. He teamed up with Randy at one time when she was opposing us. It was always Tracy and a partner versus me and Zodiac for the better part of a year. And we had gotten to know each other and we'd gotten to trust each other. And over time, you just develop a relationship when you work that closely with somebody. And he always had the same advice, but it was the best advice. And, you know, he just became Uncle Tracy to us. So yeah, it was really good. And now when we see him, we usually set up our gimmick tables next to each other. Sometimes you'll see a crossover deal at our gimmick tables. That's how close we are. If you buy a shirt, you get a picture from one or the other. It's just something like that. Like we've gotten to know Tracy very well. He trusts us and he believes in what we do, and he's always been a big supporter of what we do, and he's always been a big influence on what we do as well.
Well, you mentioned great advice from Tracy Smothers. So there's a question that we ask every wrestler that comes on the show, and I want to get both of your answers on this one. You always hear about locker room rules and locker room etiquette. You know, one of the big ones, you know, you shake everybody's hand, you know, when you come into the locker room. Every wrestler that we've asked, they've given their either a favorite or a rule that they want to add to the list. You know, we've had people like Congo Kong say, wash your balls. Human Tornado, a guy that you're going to be going up against soon, he says, leave your baby mama drama out of the locker room. We had Josh Briggs say, you know, bring your own wrist tape and a water bottle. So we've had all these different rules that we've added to the list. So from the bomb shelter, both of you, what rule would you add to locker room etiquette rules? Or if you have like a pet peeve that no one really talks about.
Okay, I got one. I got a good one that I've been saying a lot lately. That's like a rule that you'd write on the wall of pro wrestling written by us is what I'm gathering here.
Yes.
This one goes out to people running wrestling shows. Don't run a wrestling show out of spite. Run a wrestling show solely based on what you want. Like, don't run a show out of spite. That's my rule.
So, okay. I got to dive into that a little bit more. So, promoters are running shows out of spite?
No, I'm just saying some people are running solely to be competition for this. Like, there's a lot of, like, maybe I'm touching a different subject, but my new thing is
don't run a show just because someone else won't book you.
Or stuff like that. Like, that, things like that. Like, there's people that are running shows and they're very competitive with, you know, all pro wrestling is good. If pro wrestling does good, everybody does good.
Right.
So don't run shows out of spite. Work with everybody. Work with your fellow promotions around you and stuff like that.
Okay. That's a new one. I like that.
Yep.
Randy, you have.
Like, you know what I mean? Like if pro wrestling does good in one place, that means pro wrestling is doing good. It can do good everywhere.
Randy, do you have a rule you want to add to the list?
Yeah, if you have less than 3 years in the business, you know, less than 5 years in the business, shut up and listen. Don't and but. Just shut up and say thank you. That's my rule. That's the one I would definitely try to, I try to preach to all of the younger kids
mind
all the time.
Mind your goddamn manners.
Even if you don't like it, just say thank you. You don't have to like it, but I don't want to hear your and but and your excuses. That's all.
Okay.
So
I like that one too. I like that one.
That is a good one. And that brings up a good point. So that brings up a good point too. You know, as we all saw today, they aired the whole thing with Pac and Hangman Page, you know, and you were talking about the whole how if wrestling as a whole does good, it does good for the business. What are your thoughts now that we may have some legit competition for the first time in quite a while for WWE, and what do you think that does as a trickle-down effect for everybody in the
industry? What I kind of said to you guys the other night. We thought wrestling was at the best it's going to be. We thought like wrestling was at a really good spot because of like all these new companies popping up and this, that, and the other. And then the biggest company in wrestling got major competition, which is okay. So like now we're really about to be into the best part of wrestling. Like wrestling's at its absolute best and going to be even better.
I agree.
I can't wait.
Competition never hurt anybody.
Okay, so Jake Frost is in on the live chat. And
oh, shit.
And
I owe you nothing.
Sorry.
You got your win, Jake Frost.
I'm happy I didn't hit you.
And maybe you guys understand what this is. He says, I mean, Trip pants were comfy. The sleeveless Under Armour and Trip pants phase was awesome.
What? Wait, what? Say that again.
He says, I mean, Trip pants were comfy. The sleeveless Under Armour and Trip pants phase was awesome. I'm not sure what that means. It might be some inside wrestling talk that I'm not privy to.
I mean, I know what he's saying, but there are times in my life I try not to remember myself. So,
was he wearing guy liner with them?
What color guy liner?
Well, we'll see if he responds to that. But for the people that don't know what he's talking about, aka me, what are Trip pants?
I know what they are, but
Andy, you wanna? You're the fashion expert. You're by Randy.
Weren't they the big pants with like the hangy shit and the zippers? And
the big black pants that had the chains and shit on them, bro.
The
goth pants,
tripping pants, shit,
like parachutes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the goth pants.
Oh, so the black guy didn't understand that one. Okay, I got
it. No. But they're really goth, because goths would infer that these were black and had chains, and they were like,
okay. Then I've got the wrong ones.
Bash loud, like you loved.
Shit, the baby even got it wrong.
You were a certain drug clientele. Like, you did not love the devil at all. Devil was the last thing you wanted to see when you were wearing those pants. Yeah, the hill people from Clueless.
Okay, all right. That makes sense now. Okay, I got you. Yeah, because
there we go.
Yeah, I had no idea what he was talking about, but I'm pretty sure you guys would understand. You good?
Hello?
Yeah.
You're good.
We're still here. I thought Kyle had a question.
No, you're good.
So, Randy, one more question I wanted to ask you. We talked about this period in time with women, how this is one of the best times for women in the business. Basically, it's a great time for everybody in the business right now, but especially for women. What advice would you give to a young lady that either wants to get into the business or, you know, she's just getting into the business? What's some advice that you would give them to, further their career and basically gear them in the right direction?
I've given this little bit of knowledge recently. Conduct yourself as if you were standing next to your father.
Wow.
Like you wouldn't act a fool and be flirting with some dude or pulling your titty out or like dressing like a whore when you're standing next to your dad. You know what I'm saying? So
not ready for the CNN interview.
I'm not ready for no CNN interview at all. Ever. But just the way that you present yourself and the way that people view you, like that's all on you. I had to have a discussion with a couple of people recently, like, just because you think it's okay, or in your mind you had a different you had your perception of what it was going to be. There's 4 million other people out there that are going to have their own perception of you and how you're presenting yourself. So even though you think that, you know, what you're doing is fine, somebody else out there is going to say, this fucking whore. and it only takes one person to say this fucking whore. And then then it's a whole like the telephone game back in fucking high school, you know, where one person says it and then it's completely different by the time it gets to the 20th person.
Right. And
just present yourself, you know, like the way that you want to be perceived is the way you should present yourself. So if you want to go far in life, you want to be. Yeah. Like me, I know who I am. So I'm not trying to put on any fucking airs, you know.
Right.
Like, this is me. I don't give a shit. and you can accept me or you cannot. I don't care. But when you're first starting to get in the business, I wouldn't walk into a locker and like, what's up, bitches? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, hi, how are you? How you doing? And like, there's so many kids. And I say kids, and it's not, you know, there's no age. It's just people younger than me in the business that, like, you know, they aren't taught the proper way of respecting a locker room for the first time that they're in it, or for the amount of time that they actually have put into the business, because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people that have been in here in wrestling for years, 10, 12, 15, 20. I mean, Rock and Roll Express, 46 years.
That is absolutely insane.
And they're, you know, they've been wrestling. I'm in the locker room with them, and I'm nothing but respectful. And then, you know, a kid with 3 years comes in like, oh, fuck this, fuck that. And it's like, are you kidding me right now? Like, what is wrong with you?
Actually, Randy, one the advice you just gave, you said, you know, make sure you act like you're standing in front of your father. You actually got to wrestle in front of your father. I believe it was your father like 2-3 months ago here in BCWA, is that correct?
Yeah, so 16, it took me 16 years. It took me 16 years to finally get my father to come to a wrestling show and watch me wrestle live.
Wait, that was the first time?
It's first time ever. Yeah, first time in the whole time I've been wrestling.
Wow.
It just happened to be 2 blocks from where I grew up. So it was a super special moment for me, just cause like, I didn't even, like, I had told him about the show and I asked him, and he always says no, and he never comes. And, you know, our music hit and we made our entrance, and I got in the ring and hit our pose, and I looked over and there was my dad, and like instantly started crying. And I walked over to Schwartz and like, my dad's here. And he's like, my dad's here too. His dad was at the show too. So like the whole time,
my dad loved the midget.
Yeah,
I found out he loved midget wrestling. Oh, jokes on him.
I feel like that would be a fucking experience, man.
The whole time I was wrestling, I'm like crying because my dad's there, you know. And as soon as the match was over, we won the match, and we both got out and gave our dads hugs, and I'm screaming, "That's my daddy! That's my daddy!" My dad was so embarrassed.
Wait, was
like, well, if he would have came sooner, he wouldn't have been embarrassed.
Wait, was that the match against Muscle and Hustle?
It was, yeah.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it just, I don't know. I guess, like, when I saw it, I'm like, you were like, yeah, this is my dad. I'm like, oh. that was out of nowhere. But, no, I'm glad you were able to have that moment. You could have your father see you. So what did he think? Did he say anything to you afterwards?
Oh, yeah, so he always says, you know, you're a girl, you're too old to wrestle now, blah, 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 all this stuff. And when I was done wrestling, he's like, all right, I might have been wrong.
Wow.
So, yeah,
you know, that was a good little boost too, you know, like, woohoo, he admitted he was wrong and I was right. Oh, awesome.
He just gave you the ultimate trump card. So my last question for you individually, and then my other question will be for both of you. We also mentioned at the top of the show, you know, for those that have been paying attention, we've been doing a little bit of stuff with Evolve lately. You know, you made your debut at Evolve 127, if I'm not mistaken. Tell me a little bit about that and what your thoughts were on your first time in Evolve.
It was nuts because, like – We were just sitting at the house, and I got a message, and they're like, we need you for Evolve. And I was like, shut the fuck up. I was like, hold on. Schwartz, read this to me and make sure I'm reading it right, just you know?
Just a reminder, all wrestling promoters are clearly up at 3:30
This is 3:30 in the morning, by the way.
There's not one promoter that hasn't contacted me about 3:30 in the morning once. It's a disease.
And so, like, I messaged back. I'm like, yes, of course, yes. He's like, good, I need you in Detroit on Friday. And this was like, you know, Thursday morning, Wednesday night.
Right.
Like, all right, I'll be there. And so, like, and I've worked with the WWN before. Like, we've worked for FIP. We've done ACW.
You worked for them every month?
I did Shine. We work for them every month. Trevin Adams is amazing. He's a huge supporter of Bomb Shelter, and I love him to death. That's why I'm giving him a shout-out right now.
Oh, hi, Trevin.
Yeah, Trevin's dope. I got hit up, and I was, you know, I hit up Thunder Kitty because she was doing Shine earlier in the day, and I was like, hey, man, I just got booked for Evolve. Can I ride with you? And she's like, yeah. It was just like that, too.
Randy, you
got a hitchhike. See that? That's the question. She said, I got a hitchhike.
I was trying to get you to get that cardio in, I guess.
Yeah, right? And so, like, I kind of knew what to expect as far as, like, WWN production-wise.
Right.
But being in Evolve and is completely, it's a whole nother crazy atmosphere and world and universe, you know, because you got everybody, not just you have the WWE guys and the indie guys, and everybody's blending together, and it was amazing, you know, that I like, you know, Adam Cole was there and Cassius Ohno, which I've known Hero since way back. He was one of the matches that I watched, you know, when I was very young in the business too. So like to be able to be in a locker and be in a locker room with all them, like it was pretty sweet. It was like one of those, like, holy shit. Well, I'm humbled.
So what's next for Bombshell?
Doesn't happen very often, you know.
I would imagine not, with you being in the game so long. I mean, so what's, with that said, you know, what's next for Bomb Shelter? You know, you've mentioned energy drinks, you've mentioned graphic novels, you've mentioned comics, you've mentioned your wrestling career. You know what?
Making gear.
Exactly, that too. You know, what can the people expect next from you guys? Like, what's your plans as a group, and, like, what do you guys want yourselves, you know, going forward?
So the idea of the Time Traveler, more specifically the Time Lord, is that we're here to get people to where they're going. We're here to nudge people in the right direction. If ever anybody is missing anything, we're there to solve that problem. So right now, we have a schedule that's leaning more towards the west side of the country. We actually will find ourselves with, we're back at Hood Slam. We're going to be out at the Crimson Cup. We are going to be doing a lot more work out west with Texas. Texas is another state. We're going to be in Houston next month. So it seems right now that we're needed out west. As far as merchandise and as far as the brand itself, I mean, we've got a sequel with Sue Young, like I said, coming out to our young adult novel, our sequel to our comic books coming out towards the end of the year. You'll see that around November, December. That's going to be an 80s ski adventure throwback, kind of similar to like the 80s ski movies that we all know and love and can't stand. So that's going to catch the theme of that. And you're going to see an origin story of with Satu Jin, actually, in that one. You're going to get to know the characters of Bomb Shelter, as there is five of us. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with them, but Corey Storm is kind of our newest member. He is on fire. You're going to see a lot more from Corey Storm. Just a lot of cool things coming up. I don't even know where to start because we're absolutely everywhere this year. We have so much planned coming up. It's incredible.
And helping Alice Crowley.
Definitely. Helping Alice Crowley. Alice Crowley is our student. She actually is getting a shot somewhere down in Florida here soon at 16 with something bigger. She had a tryout at Evolve. They okay. Really enjoy her. So right now she's on a path. So right now our students are number one priority as well. I mean, there's just, whether it's teaching, I'm doing sales workshops for wrestlers. I'm doing those before shows. I'm helping people with merchandising and getting their name out there and showing people how to, you know, get a merchandise line and make some money at shows. These are things you're not taught at wrestling shows. We just have a whole lot of things going on, and Bomb Shelter is more than a faction. It's an idea. It's a mindset. It's an absolute movement. It's living your best life and doing everything that you've ever wanted to do. And anybody that tells you you can't, you just work harder than they can say no.
Wow. Honestly, I think that's a good place to end it right there.
That pretty much put the thumbnail on it. But stay attention to both their social media and ours. We'll be plugging anything big that we see coming out with them. And, you know, maybe we can make our way out there to Chicago for some of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued on this this deathmatch tournament in Chicago on the 13th of July. Real quick, why don't you touch on that real quick before we get out of here?
Death Becomes Her, all-female tournament. All-female deathmatch tournament, and I feel I can introduce it because I get to, for the second year in a row.
I think it's the only female deathmatch
tournament. The only female deathmatch tournament of the season. I'm actually the commentator. They bring me in to do commentary for these matches. And last year, not only did we see like a barn burner between every woman in that tournament, but there was guest appearances and guest referee spots by guys like Swoggle in the show. So at some point you've got these girls beating the crap out of each other with glass, and Swoggle is just watching it in the middle of the ring as a referee in amazement, trying not to get killed.
Why
was his catchphrase for the night? But the Resistance is based in Summit, Illinois, and they put on a hell of a show regularly. You'll always get one death match, but in all female death match tournament, if it's half of what it was last year, it's going to be insane. And that's actually also a Madman Pondo production, because he's bringing in Girl Fights to help with that. And it's going to be Girl Fights and the Resistance presents Death Becomes Her 2.
Yeah. Shout out to Madman Pondo, past guest of the show.
Summit, Illinois. You can actually get your tickets now if you log on to the Resistance over on Facebook.
Yep. Shout out to Pondo. He's a past guest of the show, man. Great guy. Guys, man, really appreciate you coming on the show. I have like so many more questions, but we're out of time. We got to get you guys back on the show, man.
Well, we always keep them wanting more. We'd love to come back.
Hey, we'll probably catch you at the next BCWA show, which is June 16th at the Copeland Center in Wyandotte, Michigan. So, yeah, it'll probably be a good time for us to link up with you guys and ask more questions.
Absolutely, because we definitely plan on rolling on to your show still undefeated.
Hey, we're looking forward to it.
So, last thing, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on social media and anything that you guys need to get out there, any, you know, plugs or advertising you guys need to do.
You can find us under our names on Facebook, you know, Randy West, other members, Zodiac, Michael Joseph Zodiac is his name, Satu Jin. You can also find Corey Storm, myself, Joseph Schwartz, Randy West. You can find me on Twitter under @GearsOfSchwartz. Also, you can find our public Twitter @BombShelter3000. Randy West Twitter handle.
Rand West Wrestling, no G.
No G on that. And then you can also find us on Instagram under Gears of Schwartz and also under Rand West Wrestling, no G.
All of it's tagged on all of our social media as well. So if you're following us, should be an easy find.
Definitely. Guys, once again, I really appreciate you jumping on.
I appreciate you guys, man. I had a blast, and so did Randy.
Yeah, man. I love talking about myself. I told you that.
Hey, man, you got to be able to run your mouth in your business. So,
right. So once again, thank
you. The quiet one in the ring.
Man, with that being said, once again, guys, thank you guys for joining us. We really, really do appreciate it.
Our pleasure, man. Have a good night.
All righty, you too.
The Bomb Shelter.
Man. I can go for another hour, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, man, these interviews have been fun. And shout out to all you guys that have been paying attention to our social media. We've seen the jump in our social media lately. Share, like, subscribe, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff, man. And make sure you're following our guests, man. Like, we're really trying to show love to anybody that takes the time to come out and do this show for us so we can give it to all of you guys. So all of our past guests, whether it be Human Tornado, you know, Madman Pondo, all these guys, man, you know, show these people some love, man. You got to remember, this is how they make a living. So make sure you're checking out the show at KO3CPod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Knockouts and Three Counts. We got KO3CPod.com. We're going to be out there, like Devin said, June 16th for BCWA.
You are the father.
Exactly. And we'll be around for Clash real soon. Next week, we're going to be bringing Jesse Bazzi to you fresh off of his win for Bellator MMA.
Yes, sir. I was there.
Yeah, you're going to be ringing the bell a lot. Tell us a little bit about what you're thinking as far as we go into Double or Nothing. And
I'm going to be there.
Obviously.
I'm definitely looking forward to it, man. I don't know what I'm looking forward to most. I don't know if I'm looking forward more to Double or Nothing itself or the StarCast convention, getting a chance to meet up with a lot of the guys that I've grown up loving watching in the business, man, and going out there to shake some hands and try to get some people to come on the show. Shout out to anybody that's going to be in Vegas for the whole weekend. If you're not doing anything Friday night, go check out my boys from the Corner Podcast. They're going to be doing a live show there, and they're also hosting a panel Saturday at 1 p.m. Talking about minorities in professional wrestling. So I'm going to be at their show on Friday, and I'm going to go check out their panel on Saturday. It's going to be at the Tuscan Suites in Vegas. It's basically down the street from the Caesars Palace, where most of everything is going to be going on. It's going to be going on at Caesars Palace and Tuscan Suites. They're panel at 1 o'clock. It's going to be the Tuscan Suites. So go check them out. I'll throw it up on our page, the information for their live show as well. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to just meeting everybody there and checking out all the great panels. I'm going to get to see the last Something to Wrestle With live show. Kind of a bittersweet thing, but I'll be there for that. But as far as Double or Nothing goes, man, it could be a very historic night in wrestling history, man.
Oh, I think it's already going to be. I think that's a foregone conclusion. And what's crazy is, like, here we are less than a week out, and we're having developments like Pac is out of the show, and they've already done the Pac and Hangman match, which if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, we shared the link to the match so you can watch us. Watch it and make sure you tweet us or hit us up on Facebook. Let us know what you think about it. I gave my thoughts earlier when I watched it. I'm sure Devin's going to check it out and can let you know what he's thinking off Twitter as well. That'll
probably be my 11:05 live for tomorrow. So, oh yeah, if you guys haven't been paying attention, 11:05 Monday through Friday on my lunch breaks at work, I do like a quick 15-minute live, talking about whatever topic. So that'll probably be the topic for tomorrow.
But, yeah, man, I mean, this card as a whole, like, it's literally, like, the whole card I'm looking forward to. Like, it's very rare that you can say that. Like, honestly, I'm as excited for Jericho and Omega as I am, Cody and the Bucks. Or not Cody and the Bucks, Cody and Dustin. I'm just as excited for the Bucks and the Lucha Brothers. Yeah. As I am Britt Baker in the women's match. They literally, through this whole card, just what we know of it is going to be dope. And that's not even taking into effect what can happen. I mean, Look what happened last year. Joey Ryan came out with a parade of dicks.
The penis drove.
And Jericho came out looking like Pentagon and beat the shit out of Kenny Omega.
Right.
Literally, you never know what's going to happen, who's going to show up, who's going to drop in. We've heard the stuff about Jack Swagger saying that John Moxley could be there. Who the hell knows what's going to happen? In other words, that's one of the biggest reasons I'm excited to this show, the fact that you legitimately can't really call what's going to happen.
And one thing that I'm hoping that they make an appearance there, I don't know if I talked about them on the show or not, but tag team that just signed with them not too long ago, Private Party, I had never heard of these guys before. And then when I saw the announcement on Instagram that they had just signed with AEW, I'm like, well, who the hell are these guys? So I go on Facebook, their Facebook page, and I'm looking at clips and like, oh my God, some of the most innovative tag team moves I've ever seen in my life. Like, I was blown away as soon as I saw them. So now that they're signed with AEW, hopefully they do something there. Maybe it's an impromptu tag team match. Hopefully they're in that battle royal for the championship. I think before they were calling the over the budget battle royal. I think they're calling the
casino battle royal or something like that.
So I want to see.
Cody had announced it. There's a whole video up about like they're doing some crazy way of like people entering in the match. Like you're entering via suit. Like, you get put into a certain suit, whether it's diamond, spades, whatever, and then they're from what I understand, they're letting people in via suit, and then, you know, then through each suit is going to determine what number of the suit you are that comes out.
Okay.
That's so you draw out of a deck.
That's an interesting wrinkle.
It goes right along with the Vegas theme, man. But all in all, man, it's just great for wrestling. You know, all in all, like I said, man, this whole weekend, I'm highly considering buying the StarCast package just to watch all the shit that's happening there, too. Like,
yeah, you can find it on what?
Fight TV, StarCast.com. You know, it's, I think, $60 for everything.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know if that includes the pay-per-view, though. I think
no, not the pay-per-view. I'm saying okay. For StarCast.
Yeah, just for StarCast. But it's going to – basically, all the panels that I'm going to be at – or actually, I can't be at all of them because there are going to be panels going on at two different locations. So I might end up having to get the StarCast package myself to watch all the stuff that I miss, you know, being at another panel.
They said there's over 40 hours of content that's about to happen.
That – I wouldn't be surprised if it's more than that, to be honest with you, because – like, they're going to be showing...
Which ones are you looking to most of all, though? To me, man, I'm really looking forward to the Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair one.
I think I'm going to miss that one because I think I'll fly in that day.
I want to see the...
Wait, time out. So, have we heard an update on Ric Flair?
Yeah, surgery went well.
Will he be at StarCast?
I don't know about that, but I just know that the surgery went well from what they said.
Yeah, because like Conrad was basically saying that it was a planned procedure and he should be able to still go to StarCast. I don't know. You know, I haven't heard any.
And to all the people saying, oh, it wasn't that big a deal, can we not forget the fact that
the guy almost died last year?
He just was in a coma. The man having any health issues is an issue. So, first of all, good shit. Good job, Nate, kicking out and staying strong, man. And yeah, there's so much stuff at StarCast, man.
Yeah, like I said, I think the things that I'm looking forward to most is the panel with the Corner Podcast. Marty Bell's going to be there, the Mac, Kenny King. Basically, you know, talking about minorities in professional wrestling. Definitely the last Something to Wrestle With show. I'm definitely looking forward to Taz. Taz does not do conventions. Like he's
somebody I would love to meet for real.
Like he talks about it on his podcast. Like he's not a real big convention guy. So for them to drag him out to Vegas to be a part of this convention was a huge get.
Basically, have you seen the promo videos he's been cutting?
I did. Man,
Taz, he's still got like that old school it, Taz vibe.
He's
dude.
Got it, man. Like Taz is one of my all time favorite. Yeah, all-time favorite wrestlers and characters in wrestling history, especially in ECW, man. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the Taz. Jerry Lawler and
JR
doing something together. I definitely want to see that. I think
Eric Bischoff has the WCW one.
Yeah, definitely want to
see
that.
They're going over it with the book.
Yeah, I just listened to that episode of their show with the author of the book, Guy Evans. So to have them there do a longer panel, I'm definitely looking forward to that, too. So while I'm there, I'm going to try my best to – I don't know if they're going to allow people to do, you know, stream it on Facebook and stuff like that. I'll try. And I'll try to jump on and, you know, just talk about what I'm dealing with out there, you know, what I've seen. I'll try to do like a recap if I can every day. If I'm still sober, we'll see. But I'm looking forward to it, man. Plus, I need to get the hell out of town for a while, man.
You've been getting out of town a lot lately. But, what do you mean?
But all this like 50-degree weather is starting to get to me.
Oh, man. Yeah, I hear you there, heat. Dude.
And then it's not going to be too hot. I think the highest is going to be like 85 up there, man. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. So, hey, make sure you're following me on my social media, All Steak No Sizzle, one word on Instagram, Twitter. I'm on there at Devin63. I almost forgot. And follow my Facebook and join the Reality Era News group. I'll probably post stuff in there as well. And make sure you're following our Facebook page. If you're watching this right now, hit that like button somewhere around here somewhere. And hit the like so you can get the notifications whenever I go live. Like I said, I'm going to try and go live and post stuff whenever I get a chance.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit Knockout. Like you said, follow the show stuff at KO3C Pod and everybody else, Kyle and Kevin and Tony, all their social media is up there as well. All in all, man, thanks to the Bomb Shelter for coming on and enjoy Double or Nothing weekend. Fuck your couch.
Until next time, peace.